Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
No.
Every now and then, I think you might like to hear something from us. Nice.
Nice.
And easy. But there's just one thing, you see.
What's that?
We never, ever do nothing nice and easy.
Oh, yeah.
We always do it nice and rough. But we're going to take the beginning of this song and do it easy.
Okay.
But then we're going to do the finish.
I love what you said. We're going to take the beginning of this song.
Yeah, exactly. Proud Mary.
Rolling on the river. Listen to the story now.
All right.
Left a good job in the city.
Speak to me, Gina.
Working for the man every night and day. And I never lost 1 minute of sleep. And I was worried about the way the thing might have been. Big wheel keep on turning.
Are they going to do it rough now?
I think so.
Stand back, people!
Grab your children.
Oh, gotta love it. We're all rolling. Dancing in here.
Oh, yeah.
Just the two of us.
Ow!
Oh, yeah. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. Good morning, everybody. Welcome in. It's a simple show today. I've got my buddy Steve Silva sitting in for two people today, actually.
I hope I can do double duty.
Yeah, exactly, man. So, and of course, I am Sean Roberts, and this is your Weekly Dose Podcast.
We thank you for joining us today as we are streaming live to you from Orange County, California. If you're new to Your Weekly Dose, the program is about having fun. We recap our past week experiences and enlighten your day through laughter.
Yep, just like right now. That's right. Because laugh at all the things that we experience in everyday life. The embarrassing things, the silly things, the awkward things, even things we're afraid of talking about, but we still do.
You know, the things that connect us all, the things that make us human, and as they say, laughter is the best medicine.
And to all of our listeners, old and new, we always love it when you guys are part of the show and join in the conversation. You can do that several ways. Comment on each of our episodes on our website at yourweeklydose.com.
Send a message via Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1.
Say hello to us on Facebook at yourweeklydose.
Or, if you want to send us a personal message, you can email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
That's right. And we got a full show for you guys today. We got a challenge for Indiana. We got what's trending. We got best road trips, best burgers. And what else we got? A whole bunch of other things going on today. And oh yeah, paper airplanes. See if we can build a good one.
Oh, you mean us?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be interesting.
I know, because it's radio.
I haven't done that for a long time.
Exactly. So, oh, let's listen to this a little bit more. Let's kick it up.
Rolling down the river.
Oh, God. Miss, and of course, today's song is definitely Proud Mary by Ike and Tina Turner, because, damn it, we just lost that legend. And we'll talk a little bit more about her a little bit later on, too. So, but as we always mention, folks, any of the songs that we play on our podcast, you could definitely pick it up at our main sponsor, which is Amazon. Simple as that. Just go to Amazon by going to our website, which is yourweeklydose.com. Click on the Amazon banner.
And shop.
And shop to your heart's delight. Absolutely. And, of course, definitely pick up the essential Tina Turner, because, damn it, what? Oh, God, that lady.
She was something. When I was young, I was a little uptight, to say. And I didn't like her at all.
Really?
Yeah, her and Janis Joplin,
okay,
for me.
Okay, whatever. Whatever, Steve. I'm just going to turn down the... No, it's okay.
But it gets better.
Okay.
For me, they were both just way too nasty.
Yeah, that's what I like about
just
it.
Way too nasty for me, and I was like, I don't know. But then later, as I got to be an adult, I started to appreciate their talent.
Yeah.
And then later on, Janis Joplin, I could appreciate what she did and how she did and stuff because of...
I still don't care for Janis that much. Appreciate the talent, though,
but
for sure.
That's the thing. She was
appreciate
talented.
The talent. Just, I don't know about her. But Tina.
Yeah, Tina later on as an adult, I loved her with
you know
the
what?
Stuff she did.
To me, Tina was the original MILF. Because those legs...
Yeah.
Those legs,
oh,
man.
Oh, I know. They're like, you know...
40 and 50 and 60 years old. She still had... awesome legs, you know, and she said she never exercised. She said doing the shows was her exercise.
So. She performed well. The way she performed was exercise.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So
and then avoiding Ike.
Yeah, that too. That too. So anyway, guys. So here we are, Steve and I together, just the two of us. Forrest is out. Cameron was supposed to come in, but she called in sick, not feeling too well. So. She is feeling better, so Steve came in to help me out today to do the show. So debating whether or not to do a past moments or not. We figured, what the hell? It's Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's a holiday.
Yes, it is. So Steve and I will catch up, just the two of us. So it's been, a week since I've seen you?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Just 2 weeks? 2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
2 weeks. All right. Anything new?
Kinda.
Really?
Yeah.
What you got going on, bud?
Well, for sure, I don't know. I don't think I mentioned this for sure, but for sure I'm going to be leaving down here for a few months to go up to Utah.
Right. Go see your
go
kid.
See my
your kids,
my
your
two
grandkids
daughters,
and
grandkids, and my nephew who's apparently doing really well.
The one that you left
that
to
I
go
went
help.
Up last year to
yeah.
go help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so that's I've got a granddaughter that got her bachelor's degree yesterday. I think it was.
Nice. What university or?
She's from the University of Utah.
Of Utah. Okay.
It was a technical school back in the way back when I was like younger, like as a teenager. It was like a city college, but for technical things.
Oh, okay.
You know, construction stuff.
Kind of like DeVry for here in Southern California.
Sort of. It was like based more on the engineering side of things
right.
and stuff and anything. But anyway. They have now grown into, I believe, the largest university in Utah.
Oh, wow.
And it's amazing. A lot of people go there. I think it's because it's very open and there's no constrictions, in a sense.
Oh, that's good.
Like there are at some of the other universities
right.
and stuff. So anyway, she's got that. And then her and two of her friends are driving down here on the 11th, June 11th.
Mm-hmm.
And... they wanted to go to Disneyland, so I've got reservations and stuff taken to Disneyland a couple of days. And then they were leaving to go back on the 15th. And I wanted to go visit Utah this summer again.
Right.
You know, see how my nephew was doing stuff, But, you know, the thing is, I can't fly and take cannabis with me.
Oh.
Because Utah is like, it's okay medically, but that's it. No recreational, nothing. You know, get caught with it without a prescription and a med card, you get screwed, especially in Utah. So I was talking to my Carrie and my granddaughter, and I asked, do you guys happen to have room for somebody to ride back to Utah with you? And she goes, yeah, we do. So I'm going to.
You and three 22-year-olds.
Yep. Should be interesting. So anyway, I can take what I need with me, and I don't have to worry about flying or any kind of that stuff like that. And so it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to do so. Plus, Casey's up there.
Right, yeah.
So I'm going to look her up, see if she wants
give her
to get
call.
Together for a
give
drink
her call.
Or something.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
I don't know why, but visions of was it Mean Grandpa are going through my head right now.
Come on, girls.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, well, that's great, man. That's great. We've had some adventures this week, basically. So, well, one is that we, for other reasons, which I can't explain right now, but we've been trying to have dinner with actually a friend of ours for quite some time, but he's always been busy. So we finally were able to see him Saturday night, which was our friend Jeff Swampy Marsh, the co-creator of Phineas and Ferb. And he was doing another race car event. Last time we saw him was, you know, was racing for autism.
Oh, really?
And this time it was for some other kind of muscular something of another, you know, for charity and everything. And it was pretty cool. There were some celebrities there that I didn't know at all. But Mark Criskey and Frank Buckley from KTLA, Channel 5 local news here in Los Angeles, were in the race. Steve Howie, who starred on Reba as her son-in-law.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah, funny guy.
Funny. He could be such a just a doofus and suddenly turn around and you just, he's so serious and he's real. I really
nice
like
guy.
Him.
Nice guy. So Steve Howie was there, so I got to meet him. And one of my favorite actors who I loved, and I got a chance to sit and talk with him because everybody, they did it, they kind of screwed it up this year. Because last year, or not just say last year, but last time that Swampy raced, and this is over at the Irwindale Speedway, stock car racing, you know. And so how do I explain? They had it to where there was an autograph session before the race. So all the celebrities come out and they put them in a long table. Well, last time they had everybody line up and everybody got an autograph. So you just went down the table. This time they just let everybody come up and approach. So there was a line for each celebrity, you know, and also our David Ergo, our dear friend David Ergo, who does the voice of Ferb from Phineas and Ferb, and then the actor who does Phineas was also there too.
Really? Wow!
So they were next to Swampy and everything. So of course you have all the people who are, you know, fans of Phineas and Ferb, you know, getting their autograph and Swampy's autograph because they're all at the very end and everything. And so it was kind of cool because I haven't seen David for a while. And so, and he's got some stuff coming up, so he'll be coming in and talking on the phone too with us pretty soon. And so anyway, but everybody was creating a line. So if you wanted to see that celebrity, you stood right in front of him, and then there was that line. So it's kind of screwed up. But as I was going to say, one of my favorite actors, D.B. Sweeney, was there. And of course, if you ever seen the movie The Cutting Edge, great movie. And of course, the big, you know, quote from that is Topic.
Topic.
And then my other great film that he did was with Peter Falk, which is Roommates.
I don't remember that.
Oh, so good. So good. If you haven't seen it, definitely watch it. It's about family. And basically what the whole story is that this young kid gets raised by his grandfather because both his parents pass away. Mm-hmm. And he ends up becoming a doctor. He marries Julianne Moore.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And Peter Falk's character basically starts at the age of, like, in his 70s and goes to, like, 108 kind of a thing.
Ooh.
Funny movie. Great. I do a lot
roommates.
Of quotes. Roommates. Really, really
I
good.
I looked that up.
Yeah. It's my favorite movie with D.B. Sweeney. And I got to talk to him about that and how
cool.
much of an impact that movie left on us.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, really? I go, yeah. He goes, like what? You know? And I would told him, you know, at the very end when you're standing with your kids, you know, or even when you're talking with Rocky, which is played by Peter Falk, that's the his grandfather's mm-hmm. name. The thing is that every time they would have a discussion about something, he would just say, good, conversation over. And that was it. You don't talk about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's been made. And I said, we use that line. I said, not all the time, but we've always used it in bigger debates in our family. You know, where we put our foot down and it's no, conversation over. He goes, really? I said, yeah. You know, and he goes, is there anything else? And I said, yeah, una pani ruski. He goes, may your ass boil sprouts or whatever, you know, which is something in Polish that they say in the movie, too. You know,
right.
He was cracking up about the whole thing.
Oh, that's cool.
So it was a nice little 5-minute conversation with D.B. Sweeney. And he says he's got a new movie coming out next summer, I think it is. So... Well, we got to keep an eye out for that and everything, and hopefully maybe if we see if we can get him back in to talk about it and everything. But mm-hmm. it was really funny because everybody was in their own lines. It's like, I forgot who was next to him. I didn't even know the guy. Had a long-ass line. DB didn't have anybody, so I just walked on up. And he just just sitting there
just
looking around, waiting.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is boring. I really don't want to do this. So I'm glad I came in to that moment and kind of lightened him up a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, which was cool. And like I said, we talked for about 5 minutes, and Roman got to meet him as well and everything. So it was really neat.
That's good.
It was really neat.
That's
so,
good.
And unfortunately, Swampy came in second again.
Ah.
Pissed off about that. But He started off in first and then got taken over by the guy who was in the second pole position,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then it stayed that way. There was a couple of times we thought Swami was going to get it back, and he was like, no, I don't want to risk it too much because apparently you screw up, crash one of the cars, you lose money for the foundation.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was telling us afterwards, he goes, one time there was where the charity didn't even make any money because to fix one of the cars if they crash, it's like $35,000.
Yeah.
So it's like, he goes, yeah, I don't want to really take it and take that risk or whatever. He goes, I'll just cruise it.
Just take what you can get.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, but it was a good race though. You know, it was a really good race. So we were cheering for some of our friends there and everything. And it was funny because both Mark Kriske and Frank Buckley were kind of hanging back in last place a little bit, just kind of cruising, going, yeah, I think we're just going to go around the track, and that's it, and just raise the money, you know, where everybody else was pretty much trying to get the checker flag itself. So, but it was fun. It was a fun time,
that's
man.
Cool.
It was a fun time. And then that night, lightning was right up against the mountains and everything, so we were getting some of that rain coming in last Saturday,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then, of course, now it's been overcast here in Southern California this whole time, too.
I know, it's strange.
It's
how,
May.
How much.
It's,
yeah.
It's May. And it's
they're starting to call it the May gray. Like we have the June gloom. And now we got the May gray.
Yeah. It's like the old saying, April showers bring May flowers. Bullshit. Because we haven't had any sun in the last week and a half, basically. So it's been really interesting to the point where it's so cold that my nose is starting to swell up again like it does during the winter. And I'm like spraying my nose every 10 minutes, it seems like, so I can breathe with that Vicks stuff and everything.
One of my favorite things that happens every year happens right at this time, and that's the jasmine blooms.
Oh, yeah.
And I love Anaheim because there's jasmine everywhere.
Yes.
And
the smell of the jasmine. Good Lord, it smells so good.
I love it.
So anyway, so we had that on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And this week then was kind of a little bit quiet. Roman... my son was working at school doing tech work for this play called A Wrinkle in Time, kind of based on the book and the movie and everything. Mm-hmm. So he's been working on that. But Thursday morning, though, we had something interesting.
You did?
We had something very interesting. So normally, you know, my wife gets up at about 6 o'clock, you know, 6:30, get ready for work and what have you. Well, Roman got up very early. And apparently, as he's waking up out of the corner of his eye, he sees something dark in the middle of his room kind of thing. And trying to figure out what the heck is that? And it started to move. And it freaked him out. Oh, yeah. And then it goes into his closet.
As all monsters
as
do.
As all monsters do, because that's where, you know, Sully and Mike live. Yeah. Mike Wazowski. And so he gets Karen. Karen wakes my ass up. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, it's like, honey, it wasn't, honey, get up. It was, Sean, get up now. We need you now, now, now. Now you get up. And so I'm like, okay, I'm up. What the hell's going on? And she goes, there's something in Roman's room. Is it Roman? No, because he's right there.
Is this 20 okay. questions?
Yeah. And I said, okay. So I'm kind of walking over there. And then also she just goes, yeah, we think it's a possum. As I'm reaching for the door, I just kind of stopped and went, okay, no thanks. All right. Fine. Because I don't know how big this son of a gun is. So me being the father, do the smart thing. Let's jump on the phone and call animal control.
Call the guy.
So the first thing that kind of pops up to whatever was people to come out and remove the animals at a price. You know, normally it's like $100. I'm like, no. County's got
that's
something.
That's what they would charge you is $100?
Yeah, to come out and remove.
I mean, for who you called first, though. I mean, it was...
Well, there was different people that you can call for animal removal.
Right.
And okay. The lowest was about like $100 to come out and say, yeah, we'll get rid of this for you, depending on how big it is, too. So anyway, so I'm like, no, I'm not calling them. The county's got animal control. That's what I pay my taxes for. They can come out and do it. Mm-hmm. So called them up. Of course, it's after hours. Luckily, they tell you if this is an emergency and you need immediate kind of assistance or whatever, call this number instead. Leave a message for the officer on duty. They'll get back to you. Okay, great. I call the number. Luckily, they answered.
Oh, cool.
So, and I, young kid, seemed like in his late 20s kind of a thing, you know, mid-late 20s. And, you know, how can I help you, sir? I said, well, we've got an issue right now. I said, I believe we have a possum in my son's closet. Excuse me, sir? I believe we have a possum in my son's closet. Well, how in the hell did that happen? Buddy, you tell me and we'll both know. I said, but I need somebody to come out here and remove it, though. I said, because I don't know if it's trying on clothes or what it's doing or whatever. So he goes, okay. And he goes, what's your address? So whatever, give him the address. And we'll have they were out here within 15 minutes.
Oh, wow. That's good.
Well, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. They got nothing to do, you know.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
So, you know, I guess Karen and Aaron kind of looked at it or tried to open the closet door to see where it was. And in Roman's closet there, you know, obviously are some toys that he hasn't played with in a number of years because he's 18 now. Mm-hmm. And there was these, was it Playtex? No, not Playtex. That's something else. Play something, whatever. It's these little.
Play school?
No, it wasn't play school. Something else. But anyway, it's these figures. And they're because of his room and he likes Batman too. It's we've got this play set of the Batcave.
Oh, okay.
Basically. And so Karen said, and I think Roman has said too, that when they opened up the closet door to see where he was, that he was on top of the Batcave. I said, well, what is he doing? Being Batman or something? Going, I am the knight. I am vengeance. I am opossum. I mean, what the hell, you know?
Maybe call him Ratman.
Ratman, so, you know? So, and I went, okay. And so the guy gets here, whatever, the officer for young kid, I said, probably in his late 20s. And he was even surprised to hear the call of saying, so understand it's in your son's closet. I said, yes. And my son's room is upstairs. He goes,
Huh?
I said yes.
Exactly.
So he gets, you know, that thing, you know, with that steel rope thing with the bar, you know, steel rope or whatever.
Right.
The Wrangler and then the a cage and what have you. And so he comes in and goes into Roman's room and we start looking around, start taking things out to see if it's moved or not. And sure enough, he was still kind of in the similar area. Mm. So in the corner of one side of the closet, Roman has a half circular bookshelf. You know, the kind you put in the corner, it's a half circle.
Right.
And so he was on one of the shelves hiding in there.
Ah.
So he decided to stop becoming Batman and, you know, and
get some literature.
Yeah, basically. And so he it was so cute. It was a small baby possum is what it was.
Yeah.
So if you put your forearm out, basically it was half of your forearm.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very small, you know, with the tail and everything, it was probably as long as your forearm from snout to tail. But half of that, you know, is the body itself. So it was small. He grabbed it, was able to get it or whatever, what have you, put it in the cage. I'm like, I almost felt like keeping it as a pet, you know. And everything. So, yeah, so that happened on Thursday.
So exciting.
Yeah, so we were surprised by all.
So they taken the possum to that famous possum farm in North Carolina where they...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, where all the opossums live.
All the possums are out there living your life out.
Out there, yes.
Having fun, yeah, playing in the sun.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah. And I almost felt like going, well, depending on how big it is, I almost felt like going, okay, I wonder if I should go get one of my guns. Now, not to shoot it or harm it, because I don't like to do those things.
Yeah.
But just to scare it so it would play possum so I could pick it up and maybe move it out. And so I was thinking about, maybe I should just get one of my blanks loud enough that it would scare it, you know. And I kind of went... Nah, I do that. It's probably going to scare the neighbors, too, you know, so like I better not.
Give the poor thing a heart attack, and then you got a dead possum in the closet.
Possum's really plain possum. And I said, no, it's okay. Let me just call the man and have him come out and do what they need
to
do.
Did they charge anything? Or?
No, because it's done through the county.
That's the county thing.
Yeah, it's a county thing, whatever.
Cool.
So he went out and got him, and like I said, it was a cute little thing, you know.
Yeah, they are. They're really cute.
And so he set it out free in the back, you know, amongst the bushes or whatever. Fly, be free. So,
yeah, this time of year, they're just looking for some place to live.
Yeah. And he chose my son's closet.
Yeah.
Now we're trying to figure out how in the hell did that little guy get in, you know? And we think we figured it out. So that night, I went to bed, but Karen was still downstairs. And left the door, our back door, sliding glass door open, but the screen was closed. So you think still, well, there's a small rip at the bottom of the screen. And it's just enough, I think, for him to slip in because he was small enough to not rip it anymore, but just get in.
Able to get in.
And wandered around downstairs for I don't know how long, and then decided, hey, let's go upstairs and see what's up there. And then chose to go into Roman's room, whatever, and scare the heebie-bejeebies out of him. So, yeah. So that was our Thursday morning.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah, those possums.
So, yeah. Oh, and then Sunday I had a gig, too, with the new funk band and everything. So that was fun.
How'd it go?
It went really well, overall. It was kind of like a rehearsal performance kind of thing. His neighbor was having a birthday party. The dude kind of scared me, though, a little bit. Nice guy.
Uh-huh.
Nice guy, really, really nice, beautiful backyard, but his house, the way it's built or whatever, it's actually right near your house, right on was it Brookhurst?
Brookhurst.
Let's see, La Palma, because we get off your street, we turn on La Palma, yeah, and get on Brookhurst. So make a left on Brookhurst like you're going to the 91.
Right.
Okay, take notes, people. So, and before you go under the freeway, there's these houses on the left-hand side.
Right.
Okay, well, there's one where you could only enter on Brookhurst, though.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a miniature compound kind of a thing.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we get there. And the dude has at least four or five Army Humvees.
Really?
Yeah. All in painted in camouflage and everything, what have you. He also, also has one of these big, giant army trucks, like a troop transporter kind of, you know, where it takes like two guys to open up the hood because they have to stand on each other's shoulders kind of a thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, the tires are almost as tall as you. He's got one of those there.
Good heavens.
And I'm like, what the hell does this guy do? You know, well, it turns out what he does is that he refurbishes them. So he buys them at auction, refurbishes them,
and then
and sells them. They were speaking Farsi, a lot of the people there, and I'm going, I just hope this isn't going on the black market. That's all I'm hoping. You know, food was great though because it was all Middle Eastern food, so that, which I love.
Oh wow!
Oh god, it was so good. But yeah, it kind of scared me there a little bit here. Like, going, is the government going
like, what do we got here?
Government going to raid us here pretty soon, or what's going on? Not making any judgments, not making any judgments, not stereotyping here. But okay, you know, but no, the gig went great. It was fun. They loved us and everything. You know, and small crowd though, but it was nice. And
did they all go?
I was wondering when they were dancing what that was all about. Yeah, it kind of. But oh my god, some of the women there, gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Oh my god, Jiminy Crickets. Beautiful, beautiful women there. Yeah, there was. Ooh, yeah, really, really nice, beautiful women. So, but. The guy was really nice. I think Ben was his name. But just kind of scared me what he did, though. It's like, why do you have these?
That's interesting.
Five Humvees. Right. What are we doing here? We doing another insurrection or something? What's going on?
I can't help but think if he's doing them specially for some application for these guys. You know what I mean? Instead of just generally... I just do that, and whoever buys it, I wonder if he's actually specifically doing things to them to sell to a particular group or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know, and I think he's just trying to fix them and then sell them off. And he said sometimes he sells them to the museum, sometimes he sells them to people who do like the parades and stuff and what have you kind of a thing, too. So I'm going, nice cover. Mm. So anyway, but yeah, so, but it was fun. But the gig was fun though overall.
That's good.
So that was my week. So busy.
Cool.
Have you been watching any movies lately?
A little bit. I'm still watching a lot of the Love Boat.
Oh, that's old. No. We need to talk about some of the new stuff.
Oh, the new movies.
All right. Well, you know what? The biggest thing out so far has been Guardians of the Galaxy. Gee, many crickets. This thing has just been...
Is it really...
Going so good. Yeah, people are loving it. You know, it's... And unfortunately, Paul's not here. We would love to have Paul here, but son of a gun booked himself for some more tours and everything with his business that he's doing. So I'm like, oh, dude, you got to do it. So... but no, I mean, 82% on the tomato meter right now on Rotten Tomatoes. So, I mean, that is damn good. And then, of course, the audience's score is a little bit higher, which is at 94%.
Wow.
So, yeah. Basically, the critics' consensus basically is, you know, the Galactic Group hug that might squeeze a little too tight on the heartstrings here. But the final Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is a loving last hurrah for the MCU's most ragtag family. Of course, the audiences are taking the team in a darker direction without sacrificing the heart or the humor itself, and ends the trilogy on an entertaining high note. And I think that's always good if you're going to, if you're going to do that, you know, because if you're going to do a trilogy, you're going to do it and mix these characters in with the MCU like they did with the both Avengers, you know, movies and everything so forth. You know, it's all good.
Yeah,
so.
I know all about that, Sean.
That's why it's better to have Paul here. So, so if you get a chance, yeah, definitely go see Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Does he still just say, "I am Groot"?
Yes, which is still, Who's the guy who plays him right now? The guy from The Fast and the Furious. Vin Diesel does it. So, and then people still say that is his best performance ever in these three movies.
And
so.
Just, I wonder how many times he said it.
I am Groot.
So far. That'd be a kind of an interesting trivia thing. How many times in the Guardians of the Galaxy trilogy did he say,
I am Groot. Exactly. So, yeah. So there's that. The next one, too, speaking of Fast and the Furious, Tomato Meter not doing too well. You know, the franchise has been around for 20 years now. Can you believe
that? What is it?
Fast 10 or Fast X. Fast and the Furious.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like I said, speaking of Vin Diesel, are your headphones working? What? Yeah, exactly.
No, I didn't realize you were talking about the movie Fast and Furious. Yeah. I just thought you were talking about Vin Diesel.
Segway.
Who had been in it.
But Segway.
Then now there is Fast 10.
Fast 10.
Okay.
The tomato meter right now, man, it is 54%. But ooh, audience, though, is still loving it at 85%.
They paid the money.
Yeah, exactly. The critics' consensus basically as irredeemable, silly as it is, satisfying, self-aware, Fast X or Fast 10 should be should rev the engines for a longtime fans while leaving many newcomers in neutral, though. And of course, the audience are saying if you like the action Fast and Furious, you'll have fun with this movie overall. So we're just kind of cool. And it's got Aquaman in it, too. So go out and enjoy that combination.
You know how many of the Fast and Furious I've seen?
Zero.
I've been Universal Studios and seen that exhibit. That's my Fast and Furious experience.
Well, I've always said, you know, the thing that made me get into the Fast and Furious was Kurt Russell's character, Mr. Nobody.
Yeah.
And he comes in like halfway through the series, and there's like three or four of the films he, you know, reprises his character. And I'm going, oh, fuck, really? Really, Kurt Russell's in it? Because I love Kurt Russell. Anything Kurt Russell does, I have to watch.
Oh, yeah.
So now I have to watch it. Okay, so where do these characters come from? All right, I got to watch the very first one then, you know, and catch up to all of them. Now I get it. Okay, fine. All right, you know, what have you. So, yeah, I've seen all. I will see all 10 of these movies, too. So my son does love them. Right. And,
Kurt Russell has done so many different things. I love him, but one of my favorite things is when he and Goldie did Overboard.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God, they were so good together. I just
absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, very good. And of course, if you haven't gone out there to go see it yet, definitely The Little Mermaid, the live adaptation of the classic Disney film,
where it proves once and for all that mermaids all wear bras.
And they're not supposed to. They're not supposed to. You know.
I wonder if they have some undersea bra maker, you know, in a cave somewhere. They all have to go and get fitted. Or
something. Yeah, kind of gives was it ladies' underform or something like that? You know, yeah.
A new definition of water bra.
Yeah, exactly. That's right, because they did come out with the water bra several years ago.
Did you see the Will and Grace episode?
No.
Grace had one on, and it started ringing leaks.
Oh, my God.
It's hysterical.
Oh, jeez. Well, looks like the tomato meter on Little Mermaid, though, is at 67%, so the critics are kind of liking it. Mm. The audience, of course, is loving it. 95%. So the critics consensus basically with Halle Bailey, not Barry, Halle Bailey, making a major splash in the title role. Disney's live-action Little Mermaid ranks among the studio's most enjoyable reimaginings, basically. So, and of course, the kids are going to love it, too, because of what's been going on. You know, it's Ariel.
She's my favorite character.
Yeah. You know, of course, I like the original because she's a redhead. I married a redhead, so there you go. But, you know, there's some where aren't really liking it that much. You know, they're saying that this is what happens when you start thinking of films as content. The story is about mermaids and magic and talking fish. It doesn't need to have a political angle or unexpected family connection or even an extra 52 minutes of screen time in the end. Let's see. Another critic was saying suffers from the murky, underlit look common in Disney tent poles and underwater sequences at the dimness. and ultimately, I can't even say that word, approximates realism, but the real function is to camouflage the CGI quality issues. Too much fails at a basic level. It's not worth looking at. So, you know. Now,
Ursula is the bad guy, right?
Bad girl, yeah.
Okay. Well, who played?
Who plays Ursula?
Yeah.
Believe it, it is Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, my God, I love her.
Yeah. Melissa McCarthy is playing Ursula.
Oh, now I've got to go see that. I love her. I think she's cute and adorable, yet she's intelligent, and she can act.
When she wants to.
In any situation, yeah. She can.
Yeah. I usually like her in Mike and Molly.
Yeah.
You know, but some of the other films that she does, I'm like,
have to appreciate the stretch that she has had. How do I say this? Went through with all of these different characters to try to portray them.
Right.
Yeah. She. I like her.
Yeah. So yeah. So there you go. So let's see. No, I can't play it on there because I'm on the wrong computer. That's okay. All right. So there you go. So, but yeah. Either way, the critics and people are kind of loving it a little bit there. So The Little Mermaid, go out check it out. The Little Mermaid by Disney. So apparently this is a really cool one. This is from the producer of Shrek, called Rally Road Racers. It's an animation film, doing really, really well. 81% on the tomato meter and 81% from the audience well. So yeah, let's see. Was it Zy or Z? A rookie race car driver gets an opportunity to compete against the reigning champion of a rally car circuit. With the help from a former driver turned mechanic, Z must overcome treacherous terrain, rival racers, and unexpected obstacles to prove he has what it takes to be the next great racer.
It's kind of like Cars.
Jimmy Yang is the guy who does voices that. J.K. Simmons is voices Ganache or Nash. Let's see, who else? Chloe Bennett's in it. Lisa Liu is in it. She plays Granny Bai. And nobody that I'm really familiar with. So, but
I do believe that was an anime thing. The Rally Road Racer, I think, is based on an anime series or something.
That and go back to Speed Racer, you know, the Mach 5 and, you know. So, yeah, that's pretty good. So, but check it out. You know, you want something to take the kids to go see, besides The Little Mermaid, which is going to have some dark stuff in it, Rally Road Racers. Again, 81% both on Tomato Meter and on the audience score itself. Let's see, what else we got coming up here? Haven't seen this movie, but it's called Blackberry. And it's also very, very high on the tomato meter and the audience score. 98% fresh and 92% from the audience. Let's see. And this one is basically Blackberry tells the story of Mike Lanzarides and Jim Balazs. Basically, the two men who charted the course of the spectacular rise and catastrophe demise of the world's first smartphone is what it's all about. So, so it tells their kind of story, kind of thing.
Huh.
So, it's really, really good in it. Let's see. Anybody in it that we know? No, not really. No. But it's good. It's good. So, go see it. Again, high score on the tomato meter. Blackberry. Okay, let's see what else we got coming up. Oh, this I want to go see. Big George Foreman. So it's supposed to tell, you know, it's his autobiography, basically.
Oh, yeah.
About him and everything. So unfortunately, the critics didn't care for it too much. It's a 44% on the tomato meter, but 96% in the audience. So they're really liking it an awful lot. Big George Foreman had a classic sports story to work with. Unfortunately, the sluggish, ordinary way it's told here is more tomato can than heavyweight championship. That's what they're calling it there, though. So. Big George Foreman basically is talking about the true story of one of the greatest comebacks of all time and its transformational power of second chances. Fueled by an impoverished childhood, Foreman channeled his anger into becoming an Olympic gold medalist and world heavyweight champion, followed by a near-death experience that took him from the boxing ring to the pulpit. So that's going to be interesting, too, to see all that. So, and I mean, in all honesty,
then he came back and became champion of the world at
like
49 or something. I can't remember.
He was in his 50s.
It might have been 50-something.
He was in his 50s. When yeah, because everybody's like, are you nuts?
I know. Don't do it.
Don't do it. And he killed it.
He knocked him out. He wore him down and knocked him out. It was like, oh, it was wonderful.
And which is, I think, with the inspiration for Rocky Balboa.
Rocky Balboa.
You know, because Rocky, it was that whole thing, too. Rocky's in, you know, old Rocky and what have you, after Adrian died, and spoiler alert. So, but.
No, wait, what?
But we got a good cast on this one. Chris Davis plays George Foreman. Forrest Whitaker plays Doc Brody. Brodius, which is his trainer manager on it too. So great performances there overall. So to go check it out. Again, audiences are loving it at 96%. And Tomato Meter is at 44 though. But that's all right. We don't mind. And of course, if you haven't seen it, go see Super Mario Brothers. You know, critics really haven't been loving it too much. It's 59% on the Tomato Meter. But of course, kids are going to love it. There's so many different Easter eggs that pay homage to the original game and everything from what I've heard and so forth. So again, 96% from the audience. And basically the whole thing is that with the help of Princess Peach, Mario gets ready to square off against an all-powerful Bowser to stop his plans from conquering the world. And of course, you somewhat have an all-star cast on this. Chris Pratt plays the voice of Mario. Anna Taylor-Joy plays Princess Peach. Charlie Day, Luigi. Jack Black plays Bowser. Keegan-Michael Key, I love him, plays Toad. And then you got Seth Rogen doing the voice of Donkey Kong. So definitely an all-star cast on there, too, to go check it out. Take the kiddies. So that's two movies you can take the kiddies to.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, three, because there's the other animation. The
Road Rally?
Racing Road Rally?
Yeah, that's what I said. So that's two. Then you can take
the kids. There was the...
Well, you can take a Little Mermaid, too, but I mean, it's a little bit more violent, you know.
Is it?
Well, they got King Triton, you know, and we got Ursula, the bitch, and she does things and mean things. And there's a dark side to everything, and so we're here, it's not that bad. So, but as far as the upcoming movies that people are really waiting to see right now is Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
The what of Destiny?
The Dial.
Dial.
Like the soap. You know, Dial soap.
Dial.
Yeah, but Dial. But it's a Dial of Destiny. So basically, it premiered at Cannes, and it got a lot of good reviews at Cannes.
Oh, cool.
So, and they're saying that it's a perfect way for Harrison Ford to end this character, to finally end this whole franchise and everything. So they loved it. You know, this is Harrison's last time doing the character for sure. And basically what the whole thing is about, you know, daredevil archaeologist Indiana Jones races against time to retrieve a legendary dial that can change the course of history. And he's accompanied by his goddaughter. He soon finds himself squaring off against... a former Nazi who works for NASA. So that's the whole thing there. And you've got, of course, Phoebe Waller-Bridge playing Helena Shaw, which is his goddaughter. You got Antonio Banderas in it, too. John Rhys Davis, who plays Sala, is back again, reprising his character as well. So you've got some, you know, pretty cool things in here.
Isn't Short Round in it?
No, he's not in it, unfortunately.
Oh, man.
But who knows? He might do a little cameo at the very, very end kind of thing. You know, grown up, you know. Yeah. And say, hey, Indy. You know,
got his Oscar.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
This will show you not to put me in your movie.
Yeah, exactly. So, but, yeah, you know, right now they're saying it's 51% on the Tomato Meter. But, hey, who knows? Those are the critics. I think people are going to love it. But it got a lot of good reviews at Cannes. So I think it's going to be a well-anticipated movie coming out. Everybody's going to definitely go check it out and see it.
There's enough people that love Harrison Ford that it'll make it a success.
Oh, yeah. I think so, too. You know, and like I said, it's a perfect way. It's kind of like when we saw him come back and do Han Solo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, when we were in that, when The Force Awakens and... You know, the door opens, and you see Chewie and Han. He goes, Chewie, we're home. It's like, yeah! And I think that's the same thing that's going to happen, too, on this one as well. So,
right.
It'll be kind of cool. One of the big DC movies coming out is The Flash, which is kind of telling the story of him trying to save his mother and everything. So it kind of helps screws things up. So it puts us definitely in that other universes, multiverse kind of a thing of what can change if time happens or whatever. So we don't get Superman, but we get Supergirl this time. Ben Affleck reprises his role as Batman from all of this. But the cool thing about it, though, too, is we finally get the return of the great Michael Keaton and his Batman, and who's a major part in this whole movie, of course.
So I know I'm asking a lot.
No, that's fine.
Possible that Jim Parsons could make a walk-on in that?
Jim Parsons?
You know, because on Big Bang Theory, he was
Flash. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That would have been funny.
Yeah. Well, you know, this movie's been kind of cursed a little bit because of what's been going on personal-wise with Ezra Miller being in the news of getting arrested a couple of times and different things. So a lot of bad publicity from him. Ooh. So they were talking about, well, should we not release it? Should we release it? We just bagged Batgirl, you know, and canned that one, which was, you know, in
right now it's mid, Batgirl.
Mid-production or whatever. So they trash canned that one. They kept The Flash, even though Ezra Miller's been, you know, like I said, in the news and not in a good way. And there was talk about Grant Gustin coming in, who plays The Flash on television, and taking over the role because he did it for 9 years. And that series just ended right now with its final with its final season. So there was talk about that, too, and everything said, no, I guess we'll just move forward because too much was involved with it. And, of course, the big thing is Michael Keaton, again, as I said, reprising his role as Batman from 1989. So it is that Batman. And it's going to be pretty cool, too. And we get to see him do some really bitchin' things. And I'm so excited. So I'm looking forward to it.
I'm so excited.
So, yeah. And look, this is going to be coming out on June 16th in theaters. So 2.5 hours worth, and we'll check it out. And it's kind of based upon the story called Flashpoint, where Barry runs back in time and saves his mother from being killed, and it screws everything up. So we'll check it out and see what happens on it. Another big one coming up is that this is from the Disney Pixar animation called Elemental. I saw the previews on this, the trailer on it. I'm not getting it that much.
Really?
Yeah. And I think what it is, it's a different version or a newer version of what was the other one they did where it was like inside the girl's head?
Inside Out.
Inside. It's kind of like that, but now dealing with the elements and everything. So you got these different characters. So you got earth, wind, fire, blah, 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 blah.
Do they sing?
I don't know. I hope so. You know, but so it, to me, that's what it kind of looks like. Called, you know, Elementals. It's coming out. Let's see here. Looks like June 16th also. Wide release. It's about an hour and a half. Disney Pixar. Nobody really big, as far as I can tell, that I recognize coming out and doing the voices on this. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's another thing too, is that you got all these actors trying to come out and do voice acting when you already have great voice actors already there that could do this work, and I think even make it even better.
Uh-huh.
You know, Swampy and I were kind of talking about that a little bit too. Of like, okay, yeah, you can cast this person, but this person's been doing voice acting for 20 years versus an actor who's never done voice acting at all, you know, and there's going to be a huge difference.
Now, being an actor,
yeah,
I believe personally that I can do voice acting just as well as regular acting, even though I don't have a lot of it. I mean, I've done some voice acting, but I don't have a lot of experience, but I think a really good actor or actress can adapt to that very quickly.
I think if you're good enough, yeah, because I mean,
that's what I say. If you're a good enough actor,
and that's just it. I think a lot of them think that they're good enough.
Yeah, there's always,
you know, versus somebody who's been doing it for. I mean, like take Kevin Conroy for example. God bless him. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the person who's played Batman the longest.
Oh, really?
You know, from the animated series, and you know, when you read the comics or anything else. That's the voice you hear is Kevin Conroy's voice as Batman. And it's been embedded in our heads now for the last 20, 25 years to where he's done the video games. You know, he's voiced all of that with Mark Hamill playing the Joker. So, you know, that's what you get that type of person. But then you get somebody else or whatever you know, if they do another animated movie kind of a thing, and then they get somebody else to do it, you know. And I know that Mark Hamill said that he will never do another Batman movie, animated movie, or video game again since the death of Kevin Conroy. Because they would be in the same room together. So they would act off each other, you know. And so, you know, you have that certain dynamic and chemistry also, you know, between certain people. And, I mean, other guys, they do a decent job, you know, but still, if you got somebody who can really do it, pull them in. So, speaking of Disney, going back to Disney here, a new Haunted Mansion film is going to be coming out in July.
Really?
Yep, yep, yep. Don't know what it's going to be all about because, you know, we're so used to the Eddie Murphy version.
Yes.
Which was such a huge hit.
Oh, it was. Wow.
Oh,
people
boy.
Stood in line for like
days.
Yeah.
Days. It turned to weeks.
And then they finally left their house, some of them, to go see it.
So basically what it is here, a woman and her son enlist a motley crew of so-called supernatural experts to help them rid their home of supernatural squatters. Huh. Kind of sounds like Casper.
Yeah.
Basically.
Casper, the friendliest ghost you know.
So, and let's see here. This stars, let's see, Lakeith Stanfield, Tiffany Haddish. From, we know who. I know I've seen a lot of her in other films. Owen Wilson is also in it. Danny DeVito's also in it, too. So, it's going to be, I think, a little bit interesting.
That's not bad.
Yeah. So, you know, DeVito, depending on how he is, you know, he can make the character.
This is...
Live action.
Still, yeah, but I mean, it's an actual direct from Disney thing. It's not like Disney's
produced. No, it's Disney. Disney's Haunted Mansion.
I wonder why they didn't continue on with Eddie Murphy.
Don't know. Probably because it was such a good hit that, you know, that they wanted to change it up a little bit.
Well, you know. Sometimes consistency is better than quality.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, if you're a huge Transformers fan out there, Transformers Rise of the Beast, who gives a damn? It's another film that they were going to fight against in the bad guys, you know, the Decepticons.
From somewhere.
Yeah, right. The Decepticons, and the Decepticons are world eater, and he's as big as the planet, and...
Bumblebee.
And the thing that I like about this one, though, is that, you know, Ron Perlman does the voice of Optimus Prime, and then Mirage is done by Pete Davidson, which I love. Michelle Yeoh also voices one of the characters in it, too, as well. So, but, yeah, it's going to be interesting, you know, if you're a Transformer person, too, and want to see it and, you know, you're not tired of them yet, yeah, go watch it. So, and when does this come out? It's out right now, actually. It's in theaters right now, so go check it out.
Oh, they don't have a ranking on it, though.
Let's see. Yeah, no. It's that good that it's been out, let's see. Oh, I'm sorry. No, it comes out on June 9th. I apologize because we're still in May. I'm an idiot. So June 9th it comes out.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. We're still in May.
We're still in
so,
May.
So, yeah. No tomato meter. But I'm sure it's going to get very high rankings on the tomato meter, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'm positive of it. So, yeah. And last but not least, if you want to go see a big giant shark, go see Meg 2. That's that. So
The Trench.
Yeah, basically. You know, so go see it. So, and there's our movie reviews without Paul. And I think we did it just as long as Paul.
I think so.
Yeah, exactly. So, with the time that we've got left and everything here, why don't we go ahead and switch gears? And, want to do what's trending, brother?
Why not? As long as it's trending, let's do
it. As long as it's trending, absolutely. Let me go ahead and pull that up for you. So here we go, trending with Steve Silva. You can talk now, Steve.
Oh, I can talk over the... Or at least I should talk into the microphone. Okay. Well, the first thing is kind of sad. Tina Turner, legendary rock and roll singer, dies at 83. So she's 10 years older than me. Tina Turner, the pioneering rock and roll star who became a pop behemoth in the 1980s, has died aged 83 after a long illness. She had suffered ill health in recent years, being diagnosed with intestinal cancer. Oh, man, and that was in 2016.
Survived it, though, man.
And having a kidney transplant in 2017, and, oh, man. Anyway, Turner affirmed and amplified black women's formative stake in rock and roll, defining that era of music to the extent that Mick Jagger admitted to taking inspiration from her high-kicking, energetic live performances for his stage persona. In a statement on Wednesday night, her publicist Bernard Doherty said, "Tina Turner, the queen of rock and roll, has died peacefully today at the age of 83 after a long illness in her home in Kuschnacht near Zurich, Switzerland. With her, the world loses a music legend and a role model." The thing she went through, the way she came out on the other side and made herself better.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing. Amazing woman. Amazing woman. If people aren't all that familiar with her story, no matter who she was or what she did, the story surrounding her is worth reading
listening
about
to and watching. And
yeah, it's worth knowing.
Yeah, and she talks a little bit about that here in a couple of different interviews, and we got CNN that did, I think, a great coverage on it. Let's play a little bit of that here for you guys. If I can.
We're playing very little of it right now.
Very, very little of it right now, yeah. Oh, I know why. Here we go.
I know why. Oh, man.
And moves.
That's my style. I take great songs and turn them into rock and roll songs on stage.
Icon, survivor, a queen of rock and roll. Tina Turner began life as Anna Mae Bullock in rural Tennessee. As a teenager, she moved to St. Louis, where she met rocker Ike Turner.
Ike was very good to me when I first started my career. Started to sing weekends with him, and we were really close friends.
The Ike and Tina Turner Review's first hit came in 1960 with A Fool in Love, a song they performed on Shindig. They married in 1962, and in 1966, recorded River Deep, Mountain High. It was a hit overseas, but flopped in the U.S. Offstage, Ike's drug abuse fueled violent outbursts.
I had had a lot of violence. Houses burned, cars shot into, the lowest that you can think of in terms of violence.
After years of physical and emotional abuse, Tina left Ike in the mid-70s with nothing but her name. At one point, relying on food stamps to survive. In the early 80s, Turner's cover of Let's Stay Together reignited her career. Private Dancer followed in 1984, a runaway critical and commercial success. The album featured her only number one song.
What's love got to do with it?
Though she wasn't a fan.
I didn't like it. I wasn't accustomed to singing those kind of songs.
It was also the title of a 1993 film starring Angela Bassett based on Tina's autobiography.
Did the picture do it justice?
Yes, I think in a way. I would have liked for them to have had more truth, but according to Disney, it's impossible that people would not have believed the truth.
Turner herself appeared in movies such as The Who's Tommy and Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. She sang its theme song. As well as the theme to the James Bond film, GoldenEye. With a gold.
I forgot
about
that.
Are you looking for a new fence or gate for your home or property? Type in your address and drop the red pin.
Go away. What?
One major role she turned down would go to Oprah Winfrey in The Color Purple.
It was too close to my personal life. I had just left such a life, and it was too soon to be reminded of.
The What's Love Got to Do With It soundtrack gave Turner another hit. Her personal favorite? You're simply
the best. It was very special because at the time when I got it, no one believed in it but me. When the heartache is over, I know I won't be missing.
Turner continued recording and touring into her 80s. She was honored by the Kennedy Center in 2005 and inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a solo act in 2021, 30 years after her first induction as part of a duo with Ike Turner. All the while, her Buddhist faith kept her going.
The calls you make this lifetime can be the effect of a better life the next lifetime. It will be better and gets better and better.
And there you go, man. I mean, such a wonderful lady.
Just to an amazing person.
There's two women that stand out as far as a comeback story is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
She's number one, mm-hmm. hands down, because mm-hmm. of the trauma that she went through with with that. You know,
that's the thing. Like she said, a couple of things, but the one she alluded to, I wasn't ready to portray and remember
where she came from.
Because it was like so horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other one is Cher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not that she had a bad relationship with Sonny or Sonny was abusive, because he wasn't. It was just that coming out of the shadow of Sonny and coming into her own.
Right.
You know, and then creating that persona of Cher.
Yeah.
And you know, and I know both these women have performed together, too. And so to see that dynamic between the two of them to carry on, I mean, it's hard to see this woman go. And it's going to be, I think, even harder when we see Cher go. You know, when that time comes too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But God bless her, man. Tina Turner. She's going to.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Now. What else we got? Guess what? It's the 40th anniversary of Return of the Jedi. It has everyone reminiscing about their first watch. Okay.
Well, do you remember watching it?
Yeah.
For the first time?
Yeah.
Good answer, Steve.
Yeah. Well, I remember the first one the most.
Yeah.
Because that was when it came out to the theaters.
77.
I went and saw it over at the Cinedome on Chapman there in Orange. And, of course, it's like 2,000 people theater.
Yeah.
This huge screen. And everybody was cheering at the end of that thing. That was an amazing experience.
Yeah.
But
to complete this whole thing.
To complete the whole thing.
I mean, can you think about it? It's been 40 years since Jedi came out.
Yeah. I know.
God. I was 13 when it came out.
Wow. Yeah, Monica Lewinsky's an old lady now.
Yes, she is.
Okay, Return of the Jedi premiered 40 years ago today, and many people are reminiscing about the first time they saw it. The sequel to Star Wars and The Empire Strikes Back first premiered on May 25th, 1983. The film sees Luke Skywalker, who's Mark Hamill, battle Jabba the Hutt and Darth Vader to save his comrades in the Rebel Alliance and triumph over the Galactic Empire. With Harrison Ford as Han Solo, Carrie Fisher as Princess Leia, it was an enormous box office success, grossing over $400 million, and it only cost $40 million to make. Wow.
Yeah.
That's obscene.
Yeah.
And that's back in
83.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, now.
Yeah.
More in the world of
Star Wars.
The Galactic is Disney Star Wars. Galactic Star Cruiser Hotel succumbs to the dark side and will cease operations this follow.
No!
Yeah, news not entirely unexpected as public demand continued to wane. Why does Wayne always have to do with it? Over the past year, Disney has announced that it's pulling the plug and parking its Orlando, Florida-based Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser Hotel after only 15 months in operation. Oh, man. I hear it's expensive, but people liked it.
But see, that's just it. I think it was too expensive.
Yeah, they tried too hard to maybe do too many minor details that cost a lot of money. So they ended up having to charge so much because they have to pay all of the actors.
But
they
have to pay all the staff.
They have to pay.
I think if they still kept the prices low, people would still come. And it would slowly get them out of the red and into the black.
Yeah.
You know, it would just take a little bit longer. It may take 5 years for it to do it. But rather have that lower prices and have the masses come. Because, dude, there's a lot of geeks out there.
They're starting to cut back at Disney anyway right now because things are just adjusting. It's not that Disney's going down the tubes or anything. You know, what tubes? I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, as the House of Mouse continues a series of brutal employee layoffs, a friend of mine worked there for quite a while. I was working there and was still working there now. Just got fired yesterday.
Wow. Fired, laid off.
Fired. She said she used the word fired, so I don't know what I didn't get the total situation, but she used the word fired.
Wow, that sucks.
So they are a series of brutal employee layoffs and cost-cutting measures that also included a slimming down release schedule, the cancellation of a massive Florida relocation plan, and the removal of low-rated Disney Plus shows like Willow. I guess that was a series?
Yeah, based upon the movie Willow.
Yeah. I like that movie. It was really good. This extravagant Walt Disney World Resort attraction was ripe for the chopping block and hosts its final guest September 28th to 30th.
Coming up then, this September.
So I guess they've got reservations up till then. Wow. So that's Disney just cutting back.
Yeah.
Cutting back.
That sucks.
Okay, now...
Yeah.
What idiot gets on a plane and does this? A man in South Korea opened a plane door in midair, causing panic on board as wind rushed through the cabin. He was arrested for doing what he did, and all 194 passengers of the Asian Airlines flight survived, which was traveling.
Well, you can't be serious. I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Exactly. Everybody survived, and they were going from a popular holiday island of Jeju to Daegu, some 148 miles south of the capital, Seoul, Korea. But about a dozen were taken to the hospital after fainting or having breathing difficulties. You lose all your breath. You're like,
well, I mean, it's pressurized.
Pressurized. That's what I mean. You lose your breath like that. You're like, the plane was about 250 meters above the ground when a door was thrown open. Videos circulating on social media showed people clinging to the armrests of their seats, their hair flying, clothes flapping in the wind. According to the Yonhap Newswire, the police said the suspect was traveling alone and not drunk, but did not reveal any further details about his possible motivation.
Wow, what an idiot, though.
How stupid do you have to be?
Apparently that stupid.
Wow, that's really something. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, this is funny because this last one here, I just saw an episode of Love Boat with Hulk Hogan on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was he was an ex-wrestler who was promoting a fight between two other wrestlers on the Love Boat.
That's funny.
It's so cool. Anyway, he says using a leg drop finisher was the biggest mistake of his career. He doesn't have many regrets when it comes to his professional wrestling career, but his finishing leg drop is one of them. When asked if he has any regrets regarding his professional wrestling career, Hogan pinpoints making the atomic leg drop. Excuse me. That was that donut I had earlier. Excuse me. Okay. It was... he pinpoints making the atomic leg drop his finisher as it eventually destroyed his body. So it was a signature move that was hurting him more than anybody else.
Jeez.
Yes, after everybody said, would you do anything different in your wrestling career? Everybody always says, no, I would have done something completely different, Hulk Hogan admitted. When you've got the largest arms in the world, why are you dropping the leg every night for years and destroying your back? Why wouldn't you put people in the sleeper with the largest arms in the world? Why wouldn't you use the sleeper? It could have been me and Piper. Sleeper versus sleeper. Who knows? But, yeah, that's the only regret I have, that leg drop, because back in the day, the ring, sometimes the concrete was easier to land on than these old-school rings. If you go to the Baltimore Civic Center, they had a boxing ring. If you fell down in the ring, you would be paralyzed.
Wow. I
guess they were kind of hard.
Jeez,
So it was in the ring that with Andre the Giant.
Giant, yeah.
That first time he goes, "No bumps, boss." I said, "Okay, if you say so." I had no idea if you fell down in the ring, you'd hurt yourself. It was so bad. That would be the only change
that he would do.
Would not do that finish. So.
Oh, boy. And there you go. Bye, everybody. That is Trending with Steve Silva.
Yeah, stuff you didn't know you didn't need to know.
Damn. So, do you like road trips?
Like what?
Road trips.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be going on one on the 15th, I guess. So.
Right.
When I was young, I kind of enjoyed it because usually a road trip meant we were on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd like sit in the back seat of the car with a transistor radio and, you know, just kind of just try to enjoy the vacation and stuff. So,
well, if you guys are thinking about going on a road trip this summer or even this weekend, you know, because it is the holiday weekend. Here are the 7 best American road trips to take.
Oh, okay. This should be exciting.
So, yeah. So, Kankamigas Scenic Byway. It's in New Hampshire. It's affectionately known as the Knack. It's a scenic byway that offers gorgeous views year-round. In autumn, it's one of the best places to view the full foliage, mm-hmm. the changing of the leaves. The drive, it's forest path that you take the White Mountains, the Swift River, and by various waterfalls and hiking trails. So that's one thing to do in New Hampshire. Or you can always head way down south to the Florida Keys and do the Florida Keys Scenic Highway.
That's one that's like on my bucket list to go down to Key West.
All right, so if you're looking for a drive that's novel and exciting, the Overseas Highway and Florida Keys Scenic Highway is for you. As the name suggests, this highway leads to the Florida Keys, takes you right over the Atlantic Ocean, Florida Bay, and the Gulf of Mexico. It feels like you're driving on water as you cross the awe-inspiring 113-mile roadway.
Mm-hmm.
Just pray that there's no earthquakes happening and a tsunami doesn't come and take you away.
Oh, God, really? You got driving across that with a big hurricane coming in? Oh,
yeah. Well, you're literally at sea level. You know? All right, here. San Juan Scenic Skyway in Colorado. Not too far from you.
Mm-hmm. I think I've been on that.
Okay. Basically, it's an all-American road, which is 235 miles. Of Colorado landscape. You get to explore the mountain scenery, Pueblo ruins, mining towns, and even hot springs as you go by.
Oh, now I am a big fan of hot springs.
Yeah, so that's number 5. Number 4, the Blue Ridge Parkway takes you through Virginia and North Carolina. Dude, there are parts of the Carolinas, man. Oh, I love that area. So freaking green.
Yeah.
So yet another most scenic drives in the American is the Blue Ridge Parkway. It's an all-American road that leads you through breathtaking Appalachian views. The parkway passes through the Great Smoky Mountains and leads you up to the stunning Shenandoah National Park. That's kind of cool.
Where did they film Deliverance?
I don't know.
I think it was somewhere like down there.
Probably off of some river. Now here's one for you that kind of... The Zion National Park to the Grand Canyon.
I love that.
So now this road trip is often called the Grand Circle because it takes you through the incredible lineup of the national parks in the Southwest. From Zion to Bryce Canyon arches and even the iconic Grand Canyon, you'll get to see some of the America's finest landscapes in one unforgettable trip. Explore the Zion National Park. Which earned its National Scenic Byway design in February of 2021. So it's a lot of rock, a lot of brown, but you know what? Some of that stuff, it's beautiful.
Oh, yeah. If I'm driving by myself, like up to Utah, I always go through Zion. Instead of going up the 15 all the way, I go off, go through Hurricane and up to Zion Park.
And then just start playing spaghetti westerns.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. There's so many different things to see, and it's, like, amazing. And then I will go up and go out of my way like about a half hour or so and go to Bryce Canyon, which is one of my favorite things. Besides Yosemite, I think Bryce is my next favorite thing.
There you go. All right, so that's number three. Number two, PCH, Pacific Coast Highway, here in California.
Yep.
It's one of the most scenic highways in the U.S., carving along California's coast. It starts in Dana Point, which we are not too far from, south of us here, and winds past the picturesque towns like Long Beach, Malibu. I don't know, Long Beach ain't that picturesque.
You're like just city and then you go over the bridge.
Yeah, exactly. Once you go over the bridge, I think then you're getting a little bit better there. But even then, because you're going kind of through the certain fields of the industrial area there.
Yeah.
But anyway, Long Beach, Malibu, Big Sur, Monterey, and of course all the way up to San Francisco. The 72-mile stretch passing through Big Sur, the Big Sur Coast Highway is designed, is designated as an All-American Road. The PCH boasts a beautiful and natural significance, experiencing dramatic cliffs, majestic redwoods, and various marine life as you drive along the crashing blue Pacific. It really is.
That's my favorite drives up along through Big Sur and up to Monterey and Carmel.
Just pay attention to the road because it curves.
Oh, yeah.
But if you get a chance to stop and take a view, do it and take a picture.
And if you plan a drive up Highway 1 all the way, you have to make sure you do your research because there's always a chance that there's been like a rock slide or something has collapsed and they've closed part of it. Mm-hmm. And if they've closed part of it, you can't get in and out. You have to go all the way back down and over and then back up. So always check when you go up there.
And, of course, the granddaddy of them all, Route 66.
Oh, yeah.
The quintessential American road trip inspiring songs, movies, and novels. Starting in Chicago and ending here in Santa Monica, Route 66 passes through 9 states, Illinois, Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, Nevada, and ending here in California. Mm-hmm. Some of the best things to do on the route are enjoying the kitschy 1950 motels, gas stations, and restaurants that harken back to the days of the Great American Road Trip. You'll also find roadside attractions like the Catoosa Whale, the Cadillac Ranch, and the Twin Arrows, which are must-sees on what they call the mother load.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
So
also, the movie Cars is kind of based on...
Exactly. Yeah, that whole thing there. So that's what I wouldn't mind doing at some point, too.
Yeah, because there's stuff off of... Well, now it's kind of convoluted because there's no straight... It's now not just the two-lane highway anymore. It's like a lot of it's like freeway. So you have to get off the freeway to go
to the true Route 66.
Yeah. Like if you're taking, you take 40 into Arizona, you have to go up to like, what's it called, Henderson? Or I can't remember.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
You have to get out, but it's fun. The Painted Desert's on there.
Oh,
Teepee Motel is in Arizona.
Yeah.
There's dinosaurs. It's a great drive.
And that's just
great
here. Drive. But to go from Chicago.
All the way
I would fly into Chicago, rent a car, and then drive all the way back. Yeah.
I think there's balls of string you can go see.
The biggest ball of twine in Minnesota.
It's fun. It's fun to do that kind of thing if you have the time.
And if you're retired, you got the time.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know what? Let's go ahead and do this. Today is also National Airplane Day, Paper Airplane Day. So let's try this real quick. I've got some pieces of paper here.
Oh, boy.
All right. And this is going to make great radio, great podcast here. But I want to give you a couple of sheets here because I want to see how far they can go.
Okay.
All right. So let me go ahead and make your airplane first, Steve. I want to see what's good airplane music. I don't even know. God, see, this is what we need, Casey.
Oh, like
an idiot right now because you know what I was about to type in Casey music because I had just said Casey as opposed to
it'd
like
be more like plane. Remember planes, search and rescue. They do a part of AC/DC Thunder.
Oh, okay.
In one of the scenes, and it's so cool.
All right, well, I'm trying to see here. Okay, well, here's one about, well, that's kind of short, but let's see. No, I don't want to do that one. Okay, I guess I'll do this, which kind of goes with what we're kind of talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if you can make the connection.
I'm flying right now, actually.
Well, see, it's Jefferson Airplane.
Yeah,
which turned into Jefferson Starship, then Starship.
Starship, and then it was the Jeffersons.
Yeah. Moving on up.
Moving on up.
All right. So I gotta do mine over here. Now, were you pretty good at making paper airplanes when you were a kid? Or?
I don't know about being good, but I made them.
All right. So I gotta go off my memory, too, which is horrible.
Alice.
All right.
And she was just small.
Oh, that's right. I gotta fold it this way, too.
Then on the chessboard, get up and
I only knew how to make them one way. I could never make like those long, narrow, pointy ones.
Uh-huh. Okay, I've got one.
You got one? Okay, all right. Why don't you go in the hallway there? Take off your headphones, though.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, you know what, Steve, real quick, get Christopher's microphone there and the plug. Get the plug that's dangling there and connect it so that way I can put you on the air. Yeah, there you go. The mic's already down, so go ahead and plug it in. There you go. Yeah, just plug it in. There we go. All right. All right, go ahead, Steve.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you, bud.
All righty.
All right. Okay, so go ahead and throw it towards the...
Where do you want me to stand? I'll stand in the doorway of the bathroom.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
Okay.
And then let me know how far it goes.
Okay.
Again, this is great radio podcasting.
Are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead. Okay, it hits the ceiling and now is falling down the stairs, and that's about it. Okay. All right. There to here. Okay. All right. It went up and then hit the ceiling, so it killed right away. All right. All right. So let me go out there, and I'm going to try and do mine. Why don't you go ahead and jump on the mic? Okay, so I'm out
okay.
Right now. You guys should be able to hear me.
Okay,
so I'm in the hallway here. And again, so now you said
in the doorway of the bathroom.
Doorway of the bathroom. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, here we go.
Here we go.
So
and
throw it towards
we're all ready.
R2-D2.
Okay.
There we go. And
oh, he went a lot further than I did.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Now it curved and turned. And kind of, you know, did a Tom Cruise thing, and then it crashed.
Ah, let's see where it is.
But it's right over here at the very end. So right at the
end. Yeah, it made it all the way to the other wall.
Of the other wall, yeah. So mine made it, but yours went up to the ceiling and crashed and went all the way down to the
mine was trying one of those radical takeoffs. You see some of these pilots, they take that 747 and they take off and they do like a vertical.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Those planes were so powerful. Oh, my God.
Have you ever heard of Bill Engvall talking about flying with the Blue Angels?
Oh, yeah.
God, that's so funny.
He thought he was so cool.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go for National Airplane Day. There you go. Paper Airplane Day. Steve and I made paper airplanes that you never got to see, but mine went further.
Yours went further.
Mine went further. So did you make it like the long pointed one? Is that what you did? Or?
No, I kind of folded back to put some weight on the end
of it. Okay, kind of like I did it with mine?
But it wasn't enough weight.
No, it wasn't enough weight. Okay, gotcha. Cool deal. All right, guys. Well, you know what? That kind of wraps it up with us. So I'm going to go ahead. And...
Oh, it's 11:30 already.
Yeah, I know. Went by quick, didn't it?
Yeah.
I know. Who would have thought?
Would have thought.
That it went by this quick. So we got to do some decent stuff here and everything. Oh, real quick. Indiana, we got a challenge for you guys.
No.
Please keep in mind that we are still trying to raise money to get these kids here at Los Alamitos High School out to Indiana to participate in the International Thespian Festival. And, of course, they're representing the state of California. And if you would like to donate, please go to our website, not our website, but our Facebook page. And there is a QR code that you can use with your phone and donate as much as you like. $5, $10, $20. If you want to donate more to get these kids out to your state and compete with the International Thespian Society, it's really good. And we're going to put up a couple of things to explain it all to for you guys as well, because it's coming up pretty soon. And we were hoping to raise at least $50,000. We did not get to do that. We raised only just about $8,000. So, a little bit disappointing, so we want to see if we can get your help. Maybe get another 1,000 out, which would be nice, you know, so some of these kids can get out there and participate in this competition. So, challenge all of you listeners, all 500 of you in Indiana, to this challenge. Can you guys do it or not? Let's find out. Let us know. Alrighty? So, until then, be good to each other. Happy Memorial Day to all of our veterans. Those that we've lost, those that are still with us today, thank you for your service. We appreciate it. And if you've never been a veteran yourself, but you want to help the veterans, there's different ways to volunteer. I always like to see that if I do see a veteran out there or if I see someone in military, I always try to buy their dinner or their lunch. It's a nice thing to do.
Yeah, I was sitting on the bus stop. I just gone shopping and I had my bag and stuff and sitting waiting for the bus and an older guy sat down and he had a
veteran
Vietnam hat on and everything. I talked to him about that for a while.
Uh-huh.
Shook his hand, said thank you, you know, and everything. But
and especially the Vietnam vets, they need that because
when they came back, they were treated like criminals.
They were.
Yeah.
And they were just doing their duty. So happy Memorial Day to everybody out there. Go out and just because you're having your barbecues and everything, it's not about that, but it's about actually remembering our fallen heroes. So until then, guys, I think Forrest will be back next week, and you'll be back with us too, Steve, right?
Sure.
So love to have you here, of course, my friend. And until then, guys, take care of yourselves. Be good to each other.
And have fun, world.
And keep rolling.
Listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.